Today, what I want to do is I want to learn some things from moms, some things that apply to moms. I want us to understand that they also apply to us. And one of those things is about giving birth. And so today, the title of the message is The Beauty of Birth. The Beauty of Birth. So because today is Mother's Day, you know, this is a day we set aside to honor our parents, to honor our mothers. And I always think about the fact, you know, there are some holidays that we have in America that they don't have in other parts of the world. For instance, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is uniquely an American thing. I remember when we went to Africa, when we went to Belgium, they didn't have it there. It's foreign to them. Now you have people that are trying to teach them about, you know, you ought to, in those countries, that you ought to celebrate Thanksgiving. And because America is really looked up to by a lot of countries, there are people who are trying to establish things like a day of Thanksgiving in their countries as well. But I don't know about Mother's Day. I'm not sure. I probably should have researched that, but I don't know if it's celebrated across the world. But I am thankful that we live in a country where we do still celebrate things like Mother's Day and Father's Day. Even with all of the messed up stuff that we have in our culture, with all the messed up mindsets we have in our culture, as a country, we still celebrate some good things. I'm glad we celebrate Resurrection Day, and I'm glad we celebrate Christmas, and I'm glad we celebrate, you know, Memorial Day, and which is coming up, and I'm glad we celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day. And, you know, there's a few holidays I wish they'd do away with, to be honest with you, like Halloween and Mardi Gras, and, you know, they could go ahead and do away with those. But this is one that's special to a lot of people. We have this command in the scripture, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It's literally one of the commandments, one of the Ten Commandments, and it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. There's something about it. God sets up authority, and the first line of authority that he set up in humanity was that of the mother and the father. And so he sets this thing in stone, one of the commandments. Of the 10 things God could tell us, if we want humanity to do well, one of the 10 things that we would have to do is honor our mother and father. And here's the thing, we honor them whether we think they did a good job or not. Now, I'm thankful for moms and dads, but this is Mother's Day. So I'm thankful for moms who honor the Lord, who fear the Lord, and bring their children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I'm very thankful for that. But as a person, we, according to the Word of God, are required to honor our parents even if they weren't a good parent. And I like what Dr. Laura Schlesinger said. Heard this years ago. She has a radio program. And she said, you know, that commandment about honoring your parents doesn't say just honor them when they do everything right. It doesn't say just honor them when they've been good to you. It doesn't say honor them if they've been a great parent. It says honor them, and it doesn't give anything else. There are no other options. And so she says what it really means in the heart of God is honor your parents in the sense that you're honoring what God wanted them to be, what God designed them to be, even if they never manifested that. See, we can all do that, right? We can honor who they were supposed to be, right? And so, and in that sense, we're honoring them. So I think it's vitally important. You know, Pastor Cindy brings up this every once in a while. You know, one of our missionaries down in Guatemala, Mike and Dottie Clark, you know, they have all these children. They have this children's home. They don't like to call it an orphanage, but hundreds of kids. And over the years, they have literally raised thousands of kids. Many of those children who had absolutely no chance in life, and many of these children severely, severely abused, and they came to Mike and Dottie Clark because the state didn't know what to do with them. And they've had kids in their, you know, and listen, they adopt every one of them. They don't just call themselves, you know, they're not like the, you know, orphan masters or anything like that. They're a mom and dad to those kids. And they raise them as their own. And not only that, but they give them an education. Many of those children, they've been there for many, many years now. When I was a teenager, Mike Clark was a Mike and Dottie were pastors here in the Lake Charles area. But they have been there for many years. And over the years now, they have many, many, many of those children who had no hope in life, who are now doctors, lawyers, pastors, church planners, business owners, professional people who are making an impact on their country. And one of the things they teach them is you honor authority. You honor authority. And they learn that. And they, so I love the fact that we get to be a part of that, by the way, and we have been for many, many years. And so honoring our father and mother is not always easy when you have a situation like some of these children where they were sent to them because the father tried to kill them with a machete. I mean, there have been children sent to them so disfigured, one where the father literally buried a machete in the child's head, and somehow the child survived. But you got to tell that child to honor their father? Absolutely. So you honor the fact that God created them to be someone, and even if they never manifested it, you honor that person that they were supposed to be. And you pray for them to become that. Now, not only that, but when you honor your parents, when you honor your mother, you're honoring God, because that's the way God designed it. Anytime, you know, God set this up to where if we don't honor our parents, we can't possibly honor him, because we're literally breaking his commandment. So he's got us, right? He's got us. So, you know, whether we like it or not, we have to love people. Amen? So our mothers, I believe, deserve our honor and our love. And, you know, it might sound a little obvious, but let me ask you a question. How many of you in this room today were born at some point, right? So we got several people on this side who were born, got a few on this side that were hatched, I think, is what happened. No, if you're here today, it's because you were born, obviously. And so if you're here today, it's because a mother gave birth. And this is something I want you to understand. If you can't think of any other reason to honor your mother, honor the fact that she gave you birth. Because especially in this day and age, it's too easy, because the world's pushing abortion, it's too easy and would have been easy for her to just abort you, right? And that's not just in the last 20 years or whatever. That started in 1973 where they started legalizing it, but abortion was happening long before 1973. Y'all know my story. I was born in 1967 and the doctor was encouraging my mom to abort me because he didn't think that either one of us would live through it, right? We exist because a mother made the choice to give us birth, and that's worthy of honor. So may I also note that Mother's Day can also be a very painful time for people. It can be a very painful time for women. It could be, you know, there are those who have not been able to give birth, who really, really wanted to be a mother, and they've not been able to physically give birth. There are those who have lost children in childbirth. There are those who had their children were stillborn, or you know, they lost them in the pregnancy, and that's a very, very hard thing. It really is. It's a painful thing for a mom to go through, but it doesn't make them any less a mom. Amen. And so then there are those, you have people in this room today who are here. Your mother's not here. She's not alive. There are people who can't celebrate. I'm so thankful. I still have my mom and my dad. You know, I'm going to try to get through this without getting emotional, but probably ain't going to work. You know, my granddaughters, they're having to go through their first Mother's Day without their mom because she was killed in a car wreck this last year. My son's having to go through his first Mother's Day without his wife. And there's always people. When you're dealing with a situation like that, there's always guilt involved. There's always the enemy who hates us, always trying to kick you when you're down. All of that stuff. But there are painful things that we have to experience. And this day, for some people, I understand, can be painful. But here's the thing. We have the remedy. We have the remedy, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so, you know, I want Mother's Day to be something beautiful for people again. I've met people who literally, we've had people in this church who would not even come to church on Mother's Day because they were so overwhelmed with grief and sorrow even years after they lost their mother, and they were affected. And here's the thing, don't give the devil a day. Don't let him have victory for even one day in your life. You take that and you turn it for good, one way or the other. And the Lord will show you how to do that. But again, I understand, I don't want to ignore those who have painful things that they're going through at this time. But we don't want that to take away from the fact that we want to celebrate our moms and dads. We had somebody one time, they got upset with us and rebuked us. They got upset and said, you know, how dare you celebrate Mother's Day or Father's Day when you got people in the room who've lost their mothers and fathers? And I'm thinking, you just want to let the devil win, don't you? You're just bound and determined to let the devil win. We're not going to let the devil win. We're going to honor the moms who are here today. And we say thank you. So I think they deserve a hand clap. Can we do that? We're grateful for the moms. If that is the case, that there is pain involved, I want to challenge you. This is how you can change that. You can switch that. Find someone to celebrate the memories, any good memories that you have. Find someone to celebrate those memories with. Or at the very least, find someone else that you can honor and show the kind of love that you would want to show to your own mother. Amen? If you're a mother who has lost a child, find somebody that you can love who desperately needs the touch of a mother. Amen? I'm so thankful. We talked about, you know, Mike and Lena and different ones that who've taken children into their home and just love them. They just love them, and they take them in, and they become their own children. And I remember hearing my cousin say this. It's the first time I'd ever heard anybody say this like this, but it was such a beautiful thing. She said, you know, when my parents had their children, their natural-born children, they didn't have any choice. When that child showed up on the scene, they didn't have any choice about what that child was going to look like, what they got. Amen? And they just had to love it. But she said, but in my case, my parents chose me. They loved me and chose me. And for the first time, I remember when she said that, it clicked with me. The power of the statement that we've been given the adoption of sons. That the Father chose us and adopted us. And I remember my parents saying, because I some kids, they find out they were adopted and they feel some kind of way like they're unloved or whatever. And I'll never forget her saying, it's like she turned it around and she said, I know I'm loved. And I'm loved in a very special way because these people chose me, though they were not my natural parents. And so that happened physically, but also I believe that spiritually speaking, we're able to give birth. You know, and now here's the thing. Now, I know this might sound a little weird, especially to the men, but man, even men can give birth spiritually. Now, there are some psychos out there today who think that men can give birth physically too. I mean, they even put feminine products in men's bathrooms and all that kind of stuff. Those people are whacked, all right? And they need to be prayed for. And some of them need some demons cast out of them, right? Because a man cannot physically give birth, but we can give birth spiritually speaking. And it's a beautiful thing that we can do that. I'm very thankful, personally, I'm thankful for my wife, the mother of my children, and her passion and her love for the Lord and for truth. I'll forever be grateful because her number one objective of all things is that our children serve the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm thankful for my mom, and I'm thankful for the sacrifices that they made to, you know, her and my dad made for me. To be able to be who I am. You know, some of you may or may not know this. I think everybody in here knows this, or most everybody knows this. But this church exists. It started because my mom got a vision, said something needs to happen in Iway, and started a ministry, the Whosoever Christian Outreach. And it was just it was an outreach. It was started like a Christian library, like a reading room, people to come in, and they could just come in and sit and read and get prayed for, and then a food pantry started, and all, and then, but she had meetings that were going on once a month in the little feed trough cafe that started as a women's meeting. But then some of the men started wanting to come. And then it started to be more and more, you know, Bible studies and services and all, and started developing. And we were serving in Oklahoma at the time when she called, and God was dealing with me at the time about pastoring, and because I'd been fighting about that, fighting him about that. And she just happened to call and say, I believe the Lord wants you to come to Iway. Would you pray about coming to Iway? And her words were, this thing has turned into a church and it needs a pastor, and you know you're a pastor. And I didn't want to hear those words, but I heard them. And I prayed, and the Lord said yes, and we came. And so we're here today because of that. But it started, the seed was, my mom got a vision. She, something in her heart that needed to happen in Iway. And that's how all this started. And so I'm very thankful, very, very thankful for that, and that I had a mother who loved the Lord. Now, how many of you know none of our parents are perfect? My children would tell you we're not perfect, right? All of us know that none of us are perfect. But those who strive to please the Lord are going to make the greatest impact on their children. Amen? And so, let me ask you a question here. Did you know that some of Jesus' last words on the cross were to and about his mother? To show you the importance, the heart of God for mothers. And, you know, when you think about that, when you're in pain, typically when you're in extreme pain, Jesus was in pain, you and I have, we can't even imagine. The horrific suffering he was, you know, experiencing in that moment, you or I can't even imagine. But, you know, I'll give you an example. If I stub my toe, anybody here ever stub your toe on something? If I stub my toe, I ain't thinking about all the people out there. You know who I'm thinking about in a moment? I'm thinking about me and my toe. Because when you're in pain, typically you get into this whole survival mode thing, and you really typically think only about yourself. Now, here's the thing about a mom. A mom, even when they're in pain, can think about other people. It's like God put that in them. And so Jesus is demonstrating that same heart while he's hanging on the cross. He talks to and about his mother. John chapter 19, verse 26 through 27. It says, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, that was John. Don't you love that John likes to call himself the disciple that Jesus loved? Standing nearby, he said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. I find it astounding to me that Jesus is hanging on a cross, bleeding out after being beaten horrifically. And before he dies, he wants to make sure his mother's taken care of. He's honoring his mother publicly for all the world from that point on to see his honor in a very public way, that in the midst of his pain, he says, I want to make sure my mother's taken care of. What a beautiful thing. So I want to talk to you about what it takes to be a mother. And literally what we're talking about, of course, is that it involves giving birth. When someone is a mother, we typically, you don't use the word mother unless they're somebody who's given birth. Now, literally, that's what causes us to be a mother. So in the sense, like men, understand, in the sense that we are the bride of Christ, which seems so weird to think about, that I'm a bride of Christ. But in that sense, the seed of his word has been planted into us, and God expects us to birth things for the kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing perverse in that. That even in men and in women, you know, the women physically show us what it's like, but for the men, even we can give birth to things. And so I want to go beyond the scope of physical childbirth, and I want to challenge all of you today to experience the joy of motherhood. So the joy, in other words, the joy of giving birth to something. You know, maybe even someone in the spirit. And that's really what this is about. When you understand that we are, that God always intended for us to give birth to something. And here's the challenge I'm going to tell you. In the same way that physical abortion is horrific to God, that it is demonically inspired, and that the people who push that are demonically inspired, all right? In the same way that physical abortion is a horrific thing, even more horrific is spiritual abortion. When we abort the seed that God put in us that was supposed to accomplish something in this world, that was supposed to make a difference, was supposed to bring life, and yet we abort it. And how do we do it? Through our disobedience. Through just doing what we want to do, leaning to our own understanding instead of following the leading of the Holy Spirit. So John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, everybody say born again. That word also means born from above. It can be translated either way. He cannot see the kingdom of God. That this whole thing, starting all the way back in the garden when God established humanity, and he said, now this is how humanity is going to spread. And he gives them this command to be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth. Well, everything that God told us to do in the physical also is represented in the spiritual. I believe that God's plan was always to fill, literally, to fill the earth with the knowledge of his glory. To fill the earth with his presence. To make sure that people knew him. And so he said, we must be born again. You know, there are a lot of people who completely avoid that phrase. I know early on in my life, now I was saved at 7 at a church that taught the word of God. But early on, the particular religious persuasion that we were, they didn't teach that you must be born again. They actually avoided that. And they don't believe you can even know that you've been saved while you're on this earth. You ain't going to know till later, right? But the truth of the matter is, we can be born again, and there's something so wonderful and significant about this picture of birth. And the reason Jesus uses the term born again is to help us to understand that he has planted the seed of his word in us, and we should be birthing something. So in a sense, though we're not all female, in a sense, we all can experience motherhood. And so that's why it's so important to get the gospel message to the world, because Jesus said you must be born again. It's not an option. You must be born again. And so spiritually, someone else, and think about this, spiritually, you didn't get here by yourself. Physically, you didn't get here by yourself. It took somebody else to birth you. And in the same way, spiritually, it takes somebody else to birth you. If you're born again, it's because somebody took the seed of the Word of God and birthed you with it. They spoke his word. They birthed you into existence, spiritually speaking, into being born again. Nobody's here today because an angel came and tapped you on the shoulder and shared the gospel with you. Nobody's here today because Jesus himself showed up in the flesh and preached the gospel to you. You're here today because you heard a gospel message from somebody, and that somebody was birthing you into the kingdom, right? Spiritually speaking, we all have the job to birth people. That's why God has given us, he calls it the ministry of reconciliation. Again, the angels cannot multiply, and neither can they preach the gospel. That's our job. Even Jesus himself passed that anointing and that job description on to us. right? That's why when he revealed himself to Paul on the road to Damascus, he then sent him to finish the job. Here's another thought. In the beginning, God told Adam to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That was not just physically, but it was also spiritually. They were to teach their children about a relationship with God. So here's the thing. You can physically birth a child into the kingdom, but if you don't give them the word of God, so you have to birth your children twice. Physically, and then you want to make sure above anything else that they are born again. It's our number one responsibility. Now, of course, they have a will and they're going to make a choice. But you have to do your very best to represent the Lord and to make sure that they know the truth, right? So they were to teach their children about a relationship with God. They were supposed to spread the knowledge of the glory of God all over the earth. And you know, I used to think, again, that only women could give birth. And then I read this scripture, Galatians 4:19. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. The Apostle Paul said that he was going through the pains of childbirth for something to happen in the church at Galatia. That's an incredible thing to me. When I read that, and I'd read it many times, but when I read that one particular time, it dawned on me. We are all supposed to be birthing something for the kingdom of God. And I believe that there is some passion, some dream, some purpose, some plan of God that he has placed within us. There are people that he has placed in our circle who don't know him. And it is our responsibility to birth these things. There's something that each of us is supposed to birth into our world. There is a calling on your life that nobody else can fulfill, and there are some people that only you will reach, and there are some people who will say in the years to come, when you have done what God has called you to do, both on earth and in heaven, you're going to hear, I'm only here today because of you. I'm only here today because of him, because of her. I'm only here today. This is why I'm always talking about in our missions program and our missions giving them, always talking about the fact that one of these days, we are going to meet thousands of people that we never met on this earth who look different, who speak different, who grew up in a completely different culture, who have no idea what it's like to live in a place like America. But they're going to be in heaven one day and they're going to say, I'm here because of you, because of you, because you gave in that offering, because you prayed, because you did this, because you did. I'm here because of you. So I don't know about you, but I look forward to that. That's going to be an incredible, amazing experience. So while we give honor to our mothers today, I want to encourage all of you to not just give honor to them, but to take this day as a day to give birth to something eternal. To embrace, if you will, I know this is going to sound weird, but to embrace, especially the men, embrace your motherhood, spiritually speaking. Okay? Now, what is it? There's some things about mothers, and we're going to have to talk about it next week, but there's some things about mothers that really stand out. And one of the things that, and I'm talking about typically, it's not every person, because every person is different, but typically one of the things that marks a mother's life is unselfishness. Moms look out for people. Moms look out for their kids. Moms are willing to sacrifice for their kids. Now, I know that's not always the case, but in general, that's something that God put into them. And it's that, like, he literally programmed it into their DNA. It's amazing to me. And I'm gonna tell this story and then we're gonna end. But I remember when I was a kid, we didn't have a lot of money, but one thing that every once in a while we would do is we'd go out to eat. We'd go to eat at a place and Mama loved Church's fried chicken. That was the favorite, right? It was Church's. That's what Church's fried chicken. So we go to eat Church's fried chicken sometimes, but I noticed something about Mama. For years, I thought that the back or neck were her favorite pieces of chicken. Now, all the siblings, they fighting over the drumstick or this or that or, you know. And Mama was like, y'all save me the back or the neck. And even at home, when she'd cook a chicken, You know, everybody else got to get their piece and get what they want, and mama would have the back. She'd be sitting there picking at the back. And for years I thought, I wonder why she likes the back. Why she liked the back so much? There's hardly any meat on that thing. There's hardly any meat on that neck. Why would she do that? It didn't make sense till one day I found out. Wasn't that it was her favorite piece? She just wanted everybody else to have theirs. And she was willing to settle for what was left. That's terrible to be crying and talking about chicken. But it happened to me last service too. Why that? Because that is a picture. It's a picture of the nature of God. It's a picture of one who's willing to sacrifice. And I want to tell you, if we're going to be people who God designed us to be, people who make an impact on this world, people who fulfill the commission that God gave us to spread the knowledge of His glory, then it's going to have to be because we take on an unselfish nature. And that nature comes from God Himself, who willingly sacrificed Himself for us. And if we don't get out of, if people don't get, and much of the church doesn't get out of our own humanistic desires and thoughts and survival mode and making it all about us all the time, and I'm offended about this and I'm offended about that, and this didn't happen and that didn't happen, you didn't treat me right and you didn't give me what I want and you didn't, and we get so caught up in all that junk and we forget that we're supposed to be birthing babies for the kingdom. It's not going to happen if we don't take on that heart that's willing to give, that heart that's willing to sacrifice, that heart that's willing to put other people first. I saw my mama demonstrate that all her life. I saw my wife demonstrate that all her life. And I'm telling you, it's the heart of God. And God wants more. He wants more from us. He wants more for us. So I want to encourage all of you today. Give birth to something. Give birth to something eternal. Get out of that which is just natural and earthly and temporal, and let's get our minds on doing something that is eternal. Can I get a bigger amen? Amen. Now, what does it take to give birth to anything? This is what we're going to talk about. What does it take to give birth to anything? I'm going to tell you this, and then we're going to stop. If you wouldn't really know that, ask a mother, because they can tell you. Amen. Father, I thank you for your heart. I thank you for your love for us. Lord, I thank you that as today we celebrate the moms, I thank you that it's you. It's you that put that in them. Lord, I thank you that your word declares literally, literally the world has been saved through childbirth. It was a mother who birthed Jesus into this world. Lord, I thank you for the privilege and the honor to be able to celebrate the moms today. But Father, we know in doing that, we're really celebrating you. But Father, I'm asking you, Lord, draw us closer to yourself than we've ever been. And I'm asking you, Lord, cause the seed of your word to come alive in us once again, so that we can ultimately give birth to something that brings you glory and honor and praise in our lives, Lord. I thank you for your incredible grace and mercy. And I thank you for a people who love you. I pray use them in a supernatural way that no one can explain. Do in them what the world would say can't be done. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be the bride of Christ. We love you, we praise you, and we bless you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen.